throne, but to a manger. He lived not as a king, but as a servant. He chose not a kingdom, but a cross. He gave not just a little, but everything.
Jesus, we remember this, your birth. asked God to take away my bride, God said, no. It's not for me to take away, but for you to give it up. I asked God to give me happiness, God said, no. I give you blessings, happiness is up to you. I asked God to spare me from pain, God said, no. Suffering draws you apart from worldly cares and brings you closer to me. I asked God for all things that I might enjoy life, God said, no. I give you life so that you may enjoy all things. I asked God to help me to love others, God said, uh-huh. Now you have the right idea about what to ask for. And we have this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. 1 John 4, verse 21, the blessings of no.
This way. Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. No made a world in sin and error pining till he appeared and the soul fell. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder break a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, nowhere, nowhere.
All right, that's good. So I'm going to read a poem. It's entitled Waiting for You. You won't need a special star. I'm no longer just in Bethlehem. I'm right there where you are. You may not be aware of me as you prepare for the celebrations. You'll have to look beyond all the decorations. If you take a moment from your list of things to do and listen to your heart, I'll be waiting there for you. You're the one I want to be with. You're the reason that I came. And you'll find me in your stillness as I'm whispering your name. Love, Jesus.
Jesus was not born in December, and we know this because in Palestine it snows, and shepherds do not have their sheep out when it's snowing. It was a custom in those days that when a newborn was born, family and friends gathered in the house and they welcomed the child with singing. Jesus was not born at home. He was born in a different town. He had no family. He had no friends there. But the angels came and the angels sang for him. As the time drew nearer for the birth of the Messiah, the angels were anxiously desiring to come to this earth to see how people would welcome their Savior. And to their dismay, their surprise, when they came, nobody was waiting for the Messiah. And so with disappointment, they were going to return back to heaven when they realized that, yes, there was a group of people that were waiting for the Messiah. And so they appeared to the shepherds. Now, it is interesting that the angels would appear to the shepherds bypassing the religious leaders, the teachers, the royalty, because in that custom, at that time, shepherds were considered very low class. They were considered second-hand citizens because they were around animals all the time and they did not do the ritualistic hand washing. And so they were considered very, very low class. When Jesus was born, that evening, the star appeared. But the inspired pen tells us that it was not a star, it was a band of beautiful, shining angels. And so, 200 miles away in the east, probably Persia, there was a group of wise men, of magi. They were royalty, they were intelligent, they were wise, they were wealthy. And they had studied the nature, and so therefore they knew the God of nature. And when they saw the star that appeared that evening, they knew that something very important had happened, but they had no idea what. So they went to their books of learning, and they looked, and they looked, they found nothing. So they went to the books of other countries, they found nothing. Finally, they went to the book of the Hebrews, and there they found a passage that said, in Bethlehem of Judea, a king will be born. And so they started preparing to go, and they were impressed to go and worship the child king that was born. So they started making preparations. They had to travel by camel. They had to travel in night because they could not see the star in the daytime. They had to make provisions. They had to take their food. They had to take everything with them. And so they set out on this long journey. When they got to Jerusalem, they were all excited. They went to the temple, but nobody knew anything about the Messiah being born, and they were surprised. Now, they met with the priest, and the priest told them they knew nothing. They dismissed him with dismay because how God would reveal themselves to these heathens and not to them, the leaders of their church. But the inspired pen tells us that these men were more righteous than the church leaders that were there. And yet they were not as unaware of the birth of the Messiah as they claimed to be, because they had heard the news and the report that the shepherds had brought. So they were aware. And it said, the inspired pen tells us that that was the beginning of the hatred of Jesus, right then and there. And so the magi went to the king, went to the palace. Now the king knew nothing about it. And he did not like the idea that a new king had been born. So he called for the temple leaders, and he called and he inquired of them. Now they answered him with indifference, like, oh yeah, right, what do these people know? But the king misinterpreted their indifference. He thought they were trying to hide something from him, and they were trying to take his throne away from him. So he said, I will be more cunning. And so he tells the magi, when you find the king and you worship him, come back and let me know so that I can worship him. Now, and the magi at this point were very disappointed. But that evening, the star appeared again, and they were very, very happy. And so they started following the star, and they came not to a manger. They came to a house where Joseph and Mary and Jesus were, a year had passed by. They didn't show up that same evening. It was about a year that had passed by. And so the Magi gave them their gifts. They worshiped him. And they finally left. And it was revealed to them in a dream not to go back to King Herod, but to go home by a different route, because King Herod had plans to destroy the king, the newborn king. And so they left. Now, when King Herod came to his senses and realized, hey, too much time has passed by. They're not coming back. They're trying to fool me. And so then he made the decree. Do you remember that decree? All children under how many? 2 years old. I had often wondered, why 2 years? Now we know. The King Herod knew exactly when Jesus, the Messiah, had been born, because he inquired of the Magi, and they told him exactly the date that the star had appeared. So he knew exactly the date. So 2 years and under were destroyed. Yesterday, Jesus died for you. Today, he lives for you. Tomorrow, he will come for you.
So today I'm going to read a poem called Why Jesus is Better Than Santa Claus. Okay. Santa lives at the North Pole. Jesus is everywhere. Santa rides in a sleigh. Jesus rides on the wind and walks on the water. Santa comes but once a year. Jesus is an ever-present help in time of need. Santa fills your stockings with goodies. Jesus supplies all your needs. Santa comes down your chimney uninvited. Jesus stands at your door and knocks, and then enters your heart when invited. You have to wait in line to see Santa. Jesus is as close as the mention of his name. Santa lets you sit on his lap. Jesus lets you rest in his arms. Santa doesn't know your name. All he can say is, "Hi, little boy or girl, what's your name?" Jesus knew our name before we did. Not only does he know our name, he knows our address too. He knows our history and future, and he even knows how many hairs are on our heads. Santa has a belly like a bowl full of jelly. Jesus has a heart full of love. All Santa can offer is ho, ho, ho. Jesus offers health, help, and hope. Thank you.
And it's entitled, "'Twas the Night Before Jesus Came." "'Twas the night before Jesus came, and all through the house. Not a creature was praying, not one in the house. Their Bibles were laying up on the shelf without care, in hopes that Jesus would not come there. The children were dressing to crawl into bed, not once ever kneeling or bowing a head. And Mom, in her rocker with baby on her lap, was watching the late show while I took a nap. When out of the east there arose such a clatter, I sprang to my feet to see what was the matter. Away to the window I fell like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but angels proclaiming that Jesus was here. With a light, the sun sending forth a bright ray, I knew in a moment this must be the day. The light of his face made me cover my head. It was Jesus returning just like he had said. And though I possessed worldly wisdom and wealth, I cried when I saw him in spite of myself. In the book of life, which he held in his hand, was written the name of every saved man. He spoke not a word as he searched for my name. When he said, 'It's not here,' my head hung in shame. The people whose names had been written with love, he gathered to take to his Father above. With those who were ready, he rose without a sound, while all the rest were left standing around. I fell to my knees, but it was too late. I had waited too long and thus sealed my fate. I stood and I cried as they rose out of sight. Oh, if only I had been ready tonight. In the words of this poem, the meaning is clear. The coming of Jesus is drawing near. There's only one life, and when comes the last call, we'll find that the Bible was true after all. Would you like to stand and join us in singing our closing song? It's on PowerPoint.
Father in heaven, it warms our hearts, Father, to be here on this Sabbath day, to lift up our voices and worship, and to remember the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Lord. He was truly, by his life and ministry and his death, he truly showed us what love the Father has for us, Lord, that God is love. And in Isaiah 60, verse 1, it says, "Arise, shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord is upon you." We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.